Yarmulke al-Dhunub. May Allah generously bestow upon us and you His forgiveness. And there are three rulings in that verse prescribing Ramadan. That you complete the number of months and that you say Allahu Akbar and that Allah commanded ease rather than difficulty. So the scholars say, Habib Ahmad's commenting, that the Allahu Akbar the night before Eid Fitr is better than the Takbir the night before Eid Adha, and that the prayer of Eid Adha is better than the prayer of Eid Fitr, because the Takbir of the night before Eid Fitr was mentioned explicitly in the Quran, that you would complete the number and that you would say Allahu Akbar. Habib Umar said that it's known that the Quran was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ day and night and over the various years, over 23 years. The last verse was revealed 9 days prior to his death in Rabi'ul Awwal. So then how would Allah say in these verses that the Quran was revealed in Ramadan? One meaning is that it began to be revealed in Ramadan, and the first that was revealed was in the Laylatul Qadr. The night of power in Laylatul Qadr, on the Ramadan, the late night of power in Ramadan was when the verses Iqra were revealed. And another meaning is that it was revealed at one time from to the Lawh Mahfuz, to the guarded tablet. It was revealed in one go from Al Bayt Al Ma'mur. And this was only received by the heart of this Prophet. The trustworthy spirit brought it down to your heart. And indeed you receive the Quran from one that is wise and well-knowing. And no heart is able to endure it except his. And then we made it easy through your tongue that you would give glad tidings through it to those who have taqwa. Verily, we only made it easy on your tongue that they would take admonition. We're going back to the book Kutul Qulub now, inshallah. Oh, now we're reading Bukhari. So this. So he's reading the hadith of the chapter at Rayyan, which is one of the doors of paradise, is for those who fasted. So the hadith said, verily in paradise there is a door called a Rayyan, through which those who fasted enter on the day of rising, no one other than them enters. And it says, where are those who fasted? So they stand and no one enters other than them. So when they've entered, it is closed and no one else enters. Habib Omar's comment was, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ said, if someone gives two of something in the way of Allah, he's called from the paradise, O slave of Allah, this is better. He's from the people of prayer, he's called through the door of prayer. If he's from the people of fasting, he's called from the door of Rayyan. From the people of charity, he's called through the door of charity. So Abu Bakr asked, is anyone called through all of those doors? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, and I hope that you'll be from them. Or I expect that you'll be from them. So Habib Omar's comment, he said, Allah made doors to paradise for the people of paradise. And he's made for people of each specific work a specific door through which they enter. Meaning this person, who this is their primary work. Or a dominant work among their works. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned four doors here, and there are four more doors. So he mentioned the door of prayer. People of the door of prayer will be called from the door of prayer. Meaning his heart was attached to prayer, and he performed it much, and he was present in it, and he fulfilled the obligations and the sunnahs that go with the fards, and he prayed witr, and he prayed duha, and he prayed the Eid prayers, and he prayed the prayers of khusuf and khusuf. Someone who's like that and persisted in all of these prayers, he had showed them great concern and was present, and he's from the people of prayer. So they will enter through the door of prayer. Ya Allah. So someone who's negligent in their sunnahs and left witr, he won't be called through the door of prayer, because this is particularly for those who perform their prayer excellently and well and did it much. And he mentioned the door of jihad. And that was, in his time, there was a vast portion of jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fighting to raise the deen of Allah and striving in that. And someone from the people of Siyam, he's called through the door of Rayyan, which can mean satiation also, quenching. So he fasted Ramadan, he fasted of Shawwal, he fasted Ashura, he fasted 3 months, the day of Arafah, Ashura, he fasted 3 days each month. That person deserves to be called to the door of Rayyan. Those who fast Ramadan well and then do voluntary fasts like those mentioned, that person deserves to be called from the Bab of Rayyan. And when one of the greatest virtues of fasting is thirst. If someone makes himself thirsty for Allah on a summer day, it's rightful that Allah would give him to drink on the day of the greatest thirst. And it's called the day of Rayyan. Rayyan means quenching. So they have that eternal quenching because they made themselves thirsty for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this manner, the reward of fasting is increased on la ilaha illallah. someone who gives charity abundantly. He gives his zakat, and then he gives charity every day. And that person has done charity. And also the door of wudu. The door of wudu. Someone who persists in wudu. Whenever they break wudu, they make wudu. Whenever they break wudu, they wake wudu. That there's a door called the door of wudu. And there's a door called the door of duha. For the person who persisted in the duha prayer and doesn't leave it any day. And shows a concern, and particularly if he does the best of it, which is 8 rak'ahs, he'll enter through the door of duha. Those who persisted in the duha prayer, they enter through the door of duha. Those are 6. There's 2 more doors of paradise. He's mentioning the 8 doors of paradise. 8 doors. And he said, and after all of this, there are doors. Other than those 8 main doors. And after that, news has come that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prays for the state of his ummah, and he say, those who have no reckoning from my ummah, make them enter through the right doors of paradise. There's a door specific for those who have no account, to be no judgment. No one else goes with them. Allahumma jamna minhum ya Rabb. Ameen. Ya Allah. And they're partners with others in other doors as well. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr, when he mentioned those doors, he said, is there someone who does all of these deeds? Can someone be called through all of those doors? Go whichever one he wants. He said, no, there's nothing against them. And I said, and I hope that you're one of them, or I expect that you're from them. You're one of those who have been called from all of those doors. Enter from this one, or from this one, or from this one. And it's mentioned in hadith that someone who persists in the dua after wudu, this is a great virtue from Allah. Shahadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, shahadu anna sayyidina Muhammad Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. Someone says that dua, and there's an addition in one of the narrations, Allahumma jalla wa ta'ala minhu wa jalla minhu wa tahirin. In another narration, Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. However, the hadith that's mentioned in the 2 sahihs, that someone says, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. He says, after every wudu, someone who does that persistently, he will be called through the 8 doors of paradise. Easy dhikr with great reward. Someone is not enabled to persist in it except for someone who salvation has been ordained. So don't leave it for the days of Ramadan or the rest of your life. No one takes anything from you, makes you pay anything for it. It's not difficult or make you weary. And if you want to, you can add, oh Allah, make me from those who repent and those from the... And face the Qibla and raise your hands and raise your head and look to the sky and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The other du'as as well after du'a, Ya Kareem. So another chapter. Do you say Ramadan or the month of Ramadan? There's a difference of opinion. And some of those saw it as vast. The Prophet ﷺ said, if someone fasts Ramadan, and he said, someone who fasted Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ said, someone fasted Ramadan. La ilaha illallah. Hadith from Abu Hurairah. The Prophet ﷺ said, if Ramadan comes, the doors of paradise are opened. Ya Allah. His father narrated that he heard Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu say that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If the month of Ramadan month of Ramadan opens, the doors of paradise are open, the doors of hellfire are closed, and the devils are chained." Ibn Umar said that he heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "When you see it, fast it. When you see it, break your fast." And Naam. It Imam Bukhari mentioned a question. Do we say Ramadan or do we say the month of Ramadan? Indicating that the Prophet ﷺ said, don't say Ramadan, say the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan is one of the names of Allah. Say the month of Ramadan. And there are other narrations as well. And it's possible that the month Shahr was not narrated by some of the narrators. So he didn't make a specific statement about the ruling due to his vast knowledge and his scrupulousness. So he said, the chapter, is it said Ramadan or the month of Ramadan? He didn't say it's obligatory, it's forbidden, it's this. That was his fiqh and his strong knowledge. So he didn't say decisively in a position, because a decisive position had not reached him. And they say the fiqh of Imam Bukhari Sahih is in the chapter headings. It's narrated from some of the companions of Imam Malik that it's offensive to say Ramadan rather than the month of Ramadan. Al-Baqilani and some of the Shafi'is say that if there's a statement that makes, if there's an indication in the speech that makes one know that it's Ramadan, then it's no problem. And then some of them said it's vast and it's no problem. They say Ramadan or the month of Ramadan and there's no problem. Imam Bukhari mentioned these various nations. Some of them mention Ramadan by itself and some of them mention Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. One said if Ramadan comes, the doors of paradise open. And he didn't say Shahr Ramadan. And the second hadith said if the month of Ramadan enters. So he mentioned these two narrations. And it's possible that Shahr was the word month was not narrated by some of the people in the chain of transmission. So for this reason, the Imam Bukhari didn't mention a specific opinion. And then another hadith says the new moon of Ramadan, and then he didn't say the new moon of the month of Ramadan. And when the month of Ramadan enters, the doors of the heavens are opened. And in another narration that preceded, the doors of paradise. And this is in celebration and honor of the month of Ramadan. The doors of the skies are open, so prayers are answered. And the deeds of those who act, and the doors of hellfire are closed. And the devils were chained. And those are the strong devils, al-marada. That is a strong group of the devils. That the strong jinn are chained. So that specific type, those are the ones who are chained during Ramadan over the oceans until the month ends. And on the night of Eid, they come and they're angry with people. So some people. So that's why some people start arguing on the night of Eid. And he said they find people, they take an opportunity to quickly take advantage of them. If the person had adab in Ramadan, they would have had a protection so that they couldn't have been able to overcome him. Some of them said if the night of Eid comes, he said some people go to the window and throw their miswak out and say, take your due Ramadan. He said, it's not only for Ramadan, it's a sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You fool. And also the great of them, Iblis. Habib Omar said, Iblis himself is not chained, but his great representatives, his strong, large representatives, they're chained. Millions of them are chained up during this month. And what remains is the weak ones, the little ones. And the proof that he is not chained is that he attended the Battle of Badr. And the Battle of Badr was in Ramadan. And the shaitan encouraged them in their actions. And it's mentioned in the Quran that he attended the Battle of Badr. So that was the 17th of Ramadan. If he were chained up, he wouldn't have been able to take the form of that person that was going to fight with Quraysh. So he took the form of someone and said, I'm going to fight me and my whole tribe. So he went all the way until they were getting ready to fight. And then when he saw the angels, he broke off. He said, I'm free from you. I'm divorced from you. He usually helps his people. When they came in the house of council of Quraysh, and then also on the day of Badr, he took the form of Suraqa, Al-Mudliji. So that he would say that his tribe was going to help. However, after that, he fled. That's how he treats his companions. He deludes them and then he runs. It's like the shaitan when he says to a person, disbelieve, and then he says, I'm divorced from you. Allah is with the pious though, in His lordship and His generosity, and Allah is with those who have taqwa, and Allah helps His people. Allah helps those who are near Him. Allah helps those who are pious. Oh Allah, assist us with Your assistance. Oh most merciful of the merciful. There was a fiqh question asked about the hadith. Don't say Ramadan. Say the month of Ramadan. That there's a weakness in that chain of transmission. And there's other traditions. So the majority of scholars say it's not offensive to say just Ramadan or to say the month of Ramadan. And some of them saw it vast. And you've heard details with some of the Shafis. If there's something that indicates that the month is intended, then that's enough. And this affair is a question that has immense latitude. So now that Ramadan has entered, it appears that we're reading other books. MashaAllah. No, we're reading Kutub Qulub again, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So he said, La ilaha illallah. Expansion on the station of Tawakkul. Description of the states of those who had this quality of Tawakkul, which can be translated as depending on Allah, relying on Allah. And that is the seventh of the stations of certitude. This author says, Tawakkul, dependence upon Allah, is the highest of the stations of certitude, and the most noble of the states of those who are brought near. And Allah, who is the real Al-Mubin, says, verily Allah loves those who possess Tawakkul. Inna Allah yuhibbul mutawakkilin. So He made the one who has Tawakkul His beloved, and cast His love upon him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and upon Allah let those who have Tawakkul depend. So He raised those who had Tawakkul to Himself and made them have an increase from Him, and said that their state temptation is great. And he said, and if someone has tawakkul, someone depends upon Allah, then Allah suffices him. Meaning Allah is his sufficiency from everything other than Allah. And someone ta'ala, who Allah ta'ala is suffices him, then he heals him and gives him wellness and doesn't ask him about himself. And those who has tawakkul upon Allah are from Allah, the slaves of Ar-Rahman. He attributed to them this attribute of or attribute him to this attribute of mercy. And he said and they also are from the elect servants for whom sufficiency has been guaranteed. And those are the ones who he described in his book, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He said, Ibad al-Rahman al-Ladina yamshuna al-Ardi hona, to the end of their attributes. The servants of al-Rahman who walk humbly on the earth, to the end of their attributes. And he said, those are the ones who he sufficed them from the responsibilities of this world and protected them by them turning their affair to him, or turning over the care of all adversity to him. And Allah said, does Allah not suffice his servant or protect his servant? And he said to Allah, Allahu a'lam, Allahu akbar, wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah, inna Allaha basirun bil ibad, and I turn my affair over to Allah. Verily Allah sees the slaves. So what did Allah say after that? Allah said, so Allah protected him the wickedness of that which they plotted. And Allah said, there's nothing in the heavens and the earth except that it's coming to the Rahman, to the most merciful, as a slave. And he said, he has counted them, or he has encompassed them and counted them in number. Some of the companions and also some of the followers said, tawakkul is the organization of monotheism, or is that which organizes one's monotheism and makes one's affair focused. And they conveyed to us from some of the Salaf that he said, I saw some of the servants from the people of Basra in a dream, and I said, what has Allah done with you? He said, Allah forgave me and made me enter paradise. And I said, which of your deeds there did you find to be the most meritorious? And he said, tawakkul, depending upon Allah and having short hopes, meaning short hope for lifespan. So adhere to these two works. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, the summit of faith is ikhlas. And tawakkul, depending upon Allah and surrendering to the Lord Azza wa Jal. And Abu Muhammad Sahal rahimahullah used to say, there's nothing in the stations that is more noble than tawakkul. And the prophets have the reality of it. And then only there's sprinklings that have fallen upon the true saints and the martyrs after that. So if someone has some of these attributes of tawakkul, then he is siddiq. He's a true saint or a martyr. And oh Allah, give us that state. And some of the knowers of Allah, and he is Abu Sulaiman ad-Darani rahimahullah, he said, in all of the stations, I have a footing except this tawakkul, which is blessed. I have nothing from it except the smelling its fragrance. And Luqman said in his advice to his son, from faith in Allah Azza wa Jal is depending upon Allah. For verily, dependence upon Allah makes a servant beloved, and turning one's affair over to Allah is from Allah's guidance, and Allah guides. Aywa. guides, and the servant conforms to Allah's pleasure. And by the servant conforming to Allah's good pleasure, he necessitates for himself being noble before Allah, or honored by Allah, or receiving Allah's generosity, a karama. And Luqman also said, someone who has tawakkal, someone who depends upon Allah, and surrenders to Allah's decree, and turns his affair over to Allah, and is satisfied with Allah's ordination, he has established the deen, and has freed his hands and feet in order to earn good, and has established in himself noble character, a pious character, through which a slave corrects his affair. And some of the learned of the Abdal said, he's Abu Muhammad Sahel. Knowledge, all of it is from the door of worship, or is the chapter of worship, meaning it's a type of worship. And worship, all of it is from the chapter of scrupulousness, and scrupulousness, all of it is from the chapter of abstinence, as zuhud, and as zuhdu, all of it is from the chapter of tawakkul, dependence upon Allah. And he said, there is no limit to tawakkul, nor any furthest point that one can reach in tawakkul. And he said about Allah saying, Azza wa Jal, that Allah will try you, which of you is best in deeds. He said the meaning of that is the one who had the most tawakkul. And he said, taqwa and certitude are like two pans of a balance, and tawakkul is the needle of the balance, like a scale. So the middle point of the scale that you see if things are balanced. Habib Omar's commenting, he said, praise belongs to Allah, who is great, the one who has absolute greatness, and there's no one great other than him. The one in whose hand is the affair, all of it, and to him the whole affair returns. He made clear the means and tested through them the servants, and he distinguished those for whom outstripping was ordained of the people of refined intellect, and he sent to us the foremost of those whom he loves, the master of those who were brought near, the one who ascended to that station called Kausiqab on the day of Mi'raj, or that which was called nearer than that, the one whose drink from his Lord was the most pleasant drink. So he came as a perfect, complete example of the realities of knowledge of Allah, depending upon Allah, turning one's affair over to Allah, and establishing the means out of pure, sincere slavehood to Allah by vast, immense edeb. So may Allah bless that most noble slave and that greatest prophet upon his folk and companions and those who traveled upon their path, and upon us with them and among them. To continue, the Shaykh is mentioning the seventh of the stations of certitude after he explained to us six stations. And I don't know what we've attained of them and what we have had from them and through them, from the realities of them. Repentance is the first of them, and patience and gratitude and fear and hope and az-zuhdu. Allah Ra'ala. Six. We've discussed six of these stations of certitude. What have we attained from them? What have we attained in them? What of their realities have we been realized in? Ask your Lord Ar-Rahman to bestow generously upon you to be realized in the realities of certitude. Oh our Lord, these stations of certitude, you gave them to your pious slaves, and we seek from you that you give us a portion of them. Don't deprive us of the good with you, to the wickedness with us, O most merciful of the merciful. The Sheikh says, the explanation of the station of Tawakkul and describing the states of those who have Tawakkul. And this is the seventh of the stations of certitude. And in this Tawakkul, the realities of Tawheed are manifest in Tawakkul. So the one whose foot is strong in Tawheed, so his heart will entirely be attached to Allah. And nothing contradicts Tawheed except those attachments of the heart that come from deficiency, being attached to creatures and means or any meaning. Attachment to Allah other than Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, it has an aspect that is being cut off from Allah. And this is the beginning of, this is wickedness, beginning with explicit disbelief, and then also the subtlest of it is concealed shirk and ostentation, worshipping for showing off. And then also having attachment to other things that was based upon an attachment to Allah. We love through His love people, and we show enmity through your enmity to those who opposed you of your creatures. So that is an attachment that is a meaning of attachment to Allah. That does not contradict the reality of an attachment to Allah. Dependence upon Allah is from the highest of stations of certitude, and from the most noble of those who are brought near. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, verily Allah loves those who have tawakkul. So he described the one who has tawakkul as being his beloved, and cast his love upon him. Allahu Allah. And upon Allah let those who have tawakkul. May upon Allah let the believers have tawakkul. So he raised those who had tawakkul to himself, and he gave them increase from him. And the one who depends upon Allah, he suffices him. And the one who Allah suffices, he suffices, he heals him and gives him wellness, and he's not asked about what is in him. So the one who has tawakkul, he is from the elect of the servants. Even if everyone's in the earth, seven hands of earth are from the slaves of Rahman, from the point of view that they are beneath his dominion, and they are enumerated, they are counted. Allah counts all of them. All of them are His creatures, and they're the ones that have been counted by Allah. However, there's other slaves from those slaves, those whose servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a slavehood, that is an elect slavehood. They are His slaves in His compassion and mercy, and His being with them, and His aiding them, and giving them victory, and His giving them next munificence from Him. And He said, the servants of Rahman who walk on the earth in humility. And He said, transcendent and exalted be He. Verily, my slaves, you have no power over them. Does Allah not suffice His slave? And He said, and I turn my affair over to Allah. Indeed, Allah sees His slaves. So Allah protected them from the wickedness, the wicked things that they plotted. Allah protects them from wickedness. Allah cares from them, suffices them their responsibilities. They're not only those slaves who are counted. We've all known that all of them are slaves. Where are those slaves that He loves? Where are those slaves for whom He cares? Where are those slaves from whom He averts wickedness? Where are those slaves who He raised their station with Him? And in this manner, He clarified from these realities that those who have tawakkul, those who depend upon Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are from the elect of the servants of Rahman. Those who Allah attributed to the attribute of mercy. Those elect slaves, those who He guaranteed that He would suffice them. Does Allah not suffice His slaves? He said, the servants of Rahman. Does Allah not suffice His slave? He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sufficed them in this abode from their responsibilities. And through their turning their affair over to Him, He protected them from the wicked things. So Allah protected them from the wicked things that they plotted. May Allah give complete dependence upon Him, complete reliance upon Him, complete direction of our beings to Him. He said, Jawala Jalala, Tawala Fiula, if someone depends upon Allah, Allah suffices him. And some of the companions said, as well as some of the followers, Tawakkul is the Nidham of Tawheed. Rashid and the thing that makes the affair focused. And I want him to comment on this, inshallah. He said Abu Talib al-Mekki said that they conveyed from some of the Salaf that I saw some of the worshippers from Basra in a dream. And I said, what Allah do with you? He said, forgive me and place me in paradise. What deeds did you there find most meritorious? He said, depending upon Allah and having short hopes, not long hopes for life. So you must adhere to these works. I didn't find in that for which Allah rewarded me deeds like dependence upon Allah and having short hopes in the world. Dependence upon Allah and having short hopes, so you must adhere to them. Sayyidina Abu Darda, the wise of the Ummah, he said, the summit of faith is sincerity and dependence upon Allah. The form, he said, surrendering to Allah. Sayyidina Abu Darda, he was graduated from the school of your Prophet, and he drank from it. He said, the summit of faith is sincerity and tawakkul and surrendering to the Lord Azza wa Jal. The summit of faith, sincerity, dependence upon Allah, and surrender to the Lord Azza wa Jal. Abu Muhammad, Sahab bin Abdullah, he said, there's nothing in the station of the stations more precious than tawakkul. The prophets have the reality of it. And then there were sprinklings that were sprinkled upon the true saints and the martyrs. If someone has a reality of tawakkul, except a Siddiq or Shaheed, others hear about it. Just they listen to it. It doesn't dwell into their heart. Because many of them, they depend upon their perception around those around them. They depend upon their wealth. They depend upon means. This happens a lot. And those only purely rely upon Allah in rare states. Those who have some sort of siddiqiyah, they have true sainthood or martyrdom. Some of the siddiqeen in his admission, Abu Sulaiman al-Jurani, he said, I have a footing in all of these stations except this blessed tawakkul. I only smell from his fragrance. This was an acknowledgement from him and an indication of the great station of tawakkul. And he said, if you depend upon Allah properly, he would provide for you like he provides for the birds. You'll go empty with your stomachs empty and come back full. And the affairs of this tawakkul, some of this overcame the heart of Ibrahim. He said, Allah suffices me, and he is the best disposal of affairs. And he said, I said, Allah suffices me. Why are you coming, O Gabriel? I don't have any need of you. He said, who's your need? He said, my need is for Allah. He said, then ask him. He said, my knowledge of his knowledge of my state alleviates me from needing to ask. And Allah said, O fire, be coolness and safety for Abraham. So then when he said it was very cold and it would have harmed him, it's coolness. And then he said, and also safety. So then the coolness did not harm him. So then he felt like he was placed in a cool, fresh river. And those were the best of his days, of the days of Khalil. At the end of his lifespan, when he asked about the best days of his life in the world, he said, the days when I was in Nimrod's fire. Because there, he was in the reality of depending upon Allah and being totally cut off from all creatures. So Jibril would come to him and pray with him, and he would bring him food from paradise, and he's happy right in there in that place. No responsibility, because he was imprisoned in that fire. The fire was raging around him. He had no responsibility of what was outside, and he tasted a sweetness of clarity and purity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those were the best of his days. May Allah's good pleasure be upon him. And they plotted against him, and they willed for him a plot, and Allah made them the lowest. Who can plot against the people of the sphere of nearness to Allah? Those who are brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can endure their plot? Who can plot against them? They wanted to make a plot against him, and we made them the lowest. Verily, they make a plan, and I make a plan. So someone of the presence of Allah, someone who's from the presence of Allah, those who attack them, their state is very dangerous. May Allah protect us from having an evil opinion of any believers, especially that we plot against any of them. Allah allows people to be deluded, though, and they plot against prophets. And then the results of that, those for whom Allah who has ordained, they'll have a punishment in this world, and they'll taste punishment and bitterness that's indescribable. And then those those who didn't have a ordained punishment in this world. No, he said someone might be punished in this world who was for whom salvation was ultimately ordained. However, those who for whom salvation was not ordained, they might have a bad ending. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from having evil opinion of anyone, and especially the elect. Luqman said to his son, from faith in Allah is depending upon Allah Azza wa Jal. For verily, the one who depends upon Allah, it makes Allah love the slave. And indeed, dependence upon Allah is from the pleasure of Allah, and while conforming to Allah's pleasure, that person is noble with Allah. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Qumama, Luqman said in his aphorisms, and we gave Luqman hikmah, wisdom. He said in his wise sayings, we gave it a name in the Quran, Luqman. Someone who depends upon Allah and surrenders to Allah's decree and turns his affair over to Allah and is satisfied with Allah's decree, he has worshipped Allah and fulfilled the pious deeds that through which the affair of a slave is corrected. And Sahab bin Abdullah Tusri said, all knowledge is a type of worship, and all knowledge worship is a type of scrupulousness, and all scrupulousness is a type of abstinence, and all abstinence is a type of dependence upon Allah, and there's no limit of tawakkul. There's no limit, O Allah, make us of those who depend upon you. That he would test you, which of you was best in deeds, the ones who was most true in its dependence upon Allah. He said, so depend upon Allah to the extent that you're able, manifesting your poverty and need to him. Abu Ya'qub Asusi said, do not criticize the people of tawakkul. They are the ones who Allah gave in the next state, and they were comfort. They were given ease from the worries of this world and the next. The one who criticizes dependence upon Allah has criticized faith. The one who loves the people of tawakkul has loved Allah. For this reason, Allah prohibited those who act like they have tawakkul, and then they bring someone who just eats. Some people would go out of from Yemen on Hajj, and they would leave their provision, and they wouldn't work, and they'd say, we're depending upon Allah, and then they would beg. And then they started begging, and looking at what's in their hands, said, you're not depending upon Allah, you're eaters. So there's nothing wrong with you seeking some of Allah's beneficence. Get a job, basically. Get a job and bring your provision. Tawakkul is for his people. They mention amazing stations from Allah's facilitation and organization of his creatures. Things that are almost unbelievable to limited intellects. From the wonders of Allah's munificence to those who have tawakkul. This state overcame one of the knowers of Allah. So he depended upon Allah. He didn't direct his attention to any creatures and didn't ask any creature. He fell in a hole, and Allah was testing him in this state. So he remained silent, and he said, I'm not going to ask anyone other than Allah for anything. So then people passed by, and they said, what is this hole in the way? Let's cover it so no one falls in it. So they didn't notice that someone was in it. So then they covered the hole he was in, and they said, what? And then he said, how much dependence upon Allah did he have? He said, he's likely to die. However, he was in a state with Allah, and it was appropriate that he remain silent. And they covered the hole. So then he didn't have any light or any fresh air. And they left, so he just stayed. And then he heard someone digging. Oh, what's that? He said, heard someone digging above. And then they opened it, and then there was a lion. He said, oh, that's amazing. He said, whether it's a lion or not, when one depends upon Allah, everything was equal. And then he stretched his hand to him. And then he grabbed him and brought him out of the... And then He nodded to him and left. And a caller said, "You were true with us, so we saved you from destruction with destruction. We brought you a predatory beast through which creatures are more afraid of holes. And then he made him subjugated him to you. So we brought you from saved you from destruction by destruction, so that you would be totally confident in him. When you were true to him, he didn't forget you in the middle of the soul." Sayyidina al-Misri said, "I was walking along a road. I slept under a tree, and there was a bird that was blind. And I was sitting, and I didn't know, and I was sitting, and it fell on the earth. And the earth split, and there was two trays. One of them had, or two little dishes, one of them had seeds, and one of them water. So it ate from the seeds and drank from the water, and then went up back in the tree. And the earth closed back over, and I said, 'La ilaha illallah, Allah, don't forget this blind bird and this tree and this distant place.' After that door, I remained at the door until he accepted me. I left all of my attachments to creatures. Allah made him a sign right in front of him so Allah could raise him. So I remained at the door until he accepted me. Transcendent is he, mighty and majestic. Allah, Allah, Allah. Ya Allahu Rabbi." And they said to him, "Sayyidina Musa, Yuhana was her name, when you fear for him, throw him in the water." People fear for those who are thrown in the water. If they see someone in the water, they save them. He said, "When you fear for him, cast him into the water. Throw him in the place of doom, and that's the place from which we'll save him. So when you fear for him, cast him into the water. And an enemy of mine and his will take him. He'll be taken by an enemy. We'll make the enemy take him and rear him and completely serve him. You fear from Fir'aun killing your sons?" He said, "Look, we're going to make him be reared right in his palace. Sovereignty belongs to who? The affair is in the hand of who? And he killed 70,000, and the very one who would ruin his kingdom, he reared him in his own home. What kind of thinking is this? What type of aql was this? The very one who would, the fall of his kingdom would be at his hand, he was reared right in his home. What kind of greatness, what kind of divinity is this? Don't fear for him, nor grieve. We'll return him to you and make him from the messengers," Allah said. And out the people of Fir'aun found him so that he would be an enemy and a cause of grief for Fir'aun. The wife of Fir'aun said, "He will be a cause of joy for me and him. Don't kill him. Hopefully he'll benefit us and we'll take him as a son." He said, "Okay, welcome." So he was reared right in the palace even when he was young. Sometimes he would go to the throne of Fir'aun, and he would kick the leg of the chair and make him fall. We said, "What is this? He don't know. It's just a little kid. He doesn't know his own." Sometimes he would pull out the hairs of his beard too. And with all of that, he was forced by the divine to rear him, and even so that. Even when he needed to be nursed, Allah made him be returned to his mom, and she suckled him for a fee, and she was his mother, so that she would be confident and tranquil in Allah's promise. These were signs from Allah's sign. Transcendent is the powerful. Transcendent is the omnipotent. When he struck the ocean with his staff, it split, and then we went to the other side. He's going to hit it again, so it would come back together. And he said, no, you don't have to do that. We know how to organize. You just go on about your business." So then when they entered into the ocean, then Allah returned it to its liquidness and drowned them. Transcendent is Allah. The Prophet sent them right in the middle of the cave, looking right at their feet. So and so, the great polytheist, their feet were right there. If one of them looked to the place of their feet, he would see us. Abu Bakr said, "Allah." The Prophet said, "What do you think of two? Allah is the third. Don't grieve. Verily, Allah is with us." One of the polytheists said, "Maybe they're in that cave. Oh, look. Aqba bin Abu Mu'ayt. He said, "You fool, don't you see that spider's web? That spider is older than the birth of Muhammad. Let's go, don't waste our time." And I said, "Let's go, this man's a fool." He said, that cave has a spider that's older than the Muhammad's age. So he was defended by a spider. It wasn't a spider. This was Allah showing you the wonders of His plan and power and strength. No one can overcome with Allah. Your mind and your machinations and arrogance, you go off. He said he was going to leave his house and there were 10 young men bearing swords. He said, "What happened?" He said, "It wasn't their sleep, nor was it the spider. Above the kingdom is its king. With the least of things, Allah will protect you, and with the least of things, Allah will cause anything to happen to whoever He wills. He governs and manages, and is power and strong and well-knowing, Jalla Jalalu. How very great is dependence upon Allah." He said, "Leave the people say what they think, and you depend upon the Lord of creatures, and do not beware in benefit or harm from anyone other than Allah. He's a Lord who's all-powerful and a creator. No creature has any affair here or there, so depend upon the saying of the true. He is Allah, there's no God other than Him, and all of them are slaves beneath His rule. Some of them He loves and He chooses for His obedience, and some of them are sinners. And He brought that one near and distanced that other one. Through His tawfiq, the one who obeyed Him, and through His willing, those were forsaken. So ask your Lord tawfiq and pardon and good pleasure, and that you be with the people of guidance and truth. Those servants who travel to Ar-Rahman with an aspiration in truth and sincerity, with no barrier, and they found that which every aspiration was beneath. So, oh great, how very pleasant their living was, nearness and being brought near, and comfort by a holy presence. And they reached the furthest limit of everyone who outstripped." Allahu Rabbi, Ya Allah. May Allah benefit us through them and make us travel their path. So they were given rest from the concerns of this world on the next. The beginning of tawakkul is knowing the one upon whom you're depending, knowing that He's mighty and wise. He gives through His izzah, and He protects through His wisdom. Allah, 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 Rabbi. He said, so through His izzah He gives, and through His hikmah He deprives. Allahu Rabbi. He withholds. So when the low slow sees that Allah is in equity, He manages and has everything, and it's measured, and He doesn't send it down except to a known portion, He will see that one holding the forelocks of His creatures. You'll see the chest of the heavens and the earth. And He said, "And in the heavens is your provision and what you are promised. I swear by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, it is true, just like you speak. And in the earth there are signs for those who are true, and in yourselves. Don't you see, however, those who are hypocrites do not see? The slave knows that in his hand is sovereignty of everything, and he changes hearts and hands in the night and the day. And he's good in management, and he is the most wise of judges, and who judges better than Allah? And he is mustawi upon the throne. He has istiwa al-arsh, and he organizes the heavens and the earth. And this great magnificent throne, it receives the commands of the angels, blessings and a peace be upon the angels, and from the pious of the slaves. And he made it a manifestation of his organization, of his creation. creation is connected to the throne. And he said he's Mustawi, Istawa ala al-Arsh. However, the Arsh itself is held by him. He doesn't dwell in anything, does anything dwell in him. He's the Lord of everything, and he's with you wherever you are. And he said, certitude is enough of a wealth. It's enough as a wealth. Verily, those to whom you call other than are slaves along with you. So respond to Allah if you are true. Those to whom you call, they do not have provision. So seek provision from Him and worship Him. So this servant, if he's true in tawakkul, he doesn't praise a creature, nor does he blame it. He doesn't praise anyone. He doesn't flatter anyone for giving him or for depriving him. Allah, because Allah, He is the first giver, and He is the one who withholds. Jalla Jalalu. He doesn't criticize or thank creatures for their own sake. He only thanks them because their Lord, or His Lord, ordered them to thank. So out of establishing Allah's command and following the Sunnah, His gratitude is for Allah, His thanks is for Allah. And he doesn't hate anyone or blame anyone except for Allah's command. Allah's blame of the sinners. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq. La ilaha illallah. He said, the difference between praise and gratitude is that praise is specific and not appropriate for anyone other than Allah. And it is acknowledgement of Allah's ni'mah, Azza wa Jal, His gifts. And is a good dealing through these blessings for the sake of Allah without any partner in it. And for this reason, one says, praise is for Allah or belongs to Allah, Lord of all beings. Meaning all praise is not for nor is it appropriate except to be for Allah, because He's the Lord of all beings. And it's mentioned in a hadith, Hamd, praise is the upper garment of Ar-Rahman, Azza wa Jal. And gratitude is said here is too subtle to comment on. To translate, inshallah ta'ala, Habib Omar will comment on it. And then he said they narrated to us from Yusuf bin Asbat that he said that Thawri, meaning Sufyan Thawri, said to me, don't show gratitude except to someone who knows the place of gratitude. And I said, and how is that? He said, that's hard to translate too, inshallah, Habib Omar will comment on it. And Ibrahim asked a man from his companions for 2 silver coins, and they didn't have him. So then a young man in his sitting, in his majlis, in his gathering, brought out a pouch in which there were 200 dirhams. And he offered them to him, and he didn't accept them. Habib Umar said, from a person being punished for fearing other than Allah, he said, if someone fears something other than Allah, Allah afflicts them with being punished by that one in their grave until the day of rising. If he believed they had any independence and that they were not dominated beneath Allah's command, they'll be punished. So, and then Ibrahim said, do we accept from everyone who gives us something? And he said, we don't accept except from the one who we see Allah's ni'mah upon him in what he's given as being greater than his ni'mah over us, his favor over us. So he said, someone who we see Allah's favor over him due to him having given greater than his favor over us due to us having accepted. And they narrated to us from Al-Hasan in a long story that a man gave some wealth and then was given a large sum of wealth, and he rejected it. So then when he left, Hashim al-Awqas said, I was surprised by you, Abu Sa'id. You rejected the man's generosity. So Habib Umar said, Allah judges and Allah ordains and He does as He wills. He said, do you know tomorrow? He said that saying tomorrow or I'll do it in the future is one of the armies of the devil. So through procrastination, days and nights pass by. And it's said that most of the punishment of the people of the fire is from procrastination. So you rejected that man's generosity and he went away sad. And you take from Malik bin Dinar and Muhammad bin Wasit things after that. And Al-Hasan said, woe to you. He said, Malik and Ibn Wasit, they look at Allah in what we take from them. So we must accept it. And this needy man, he looks to us about what he gives. So we returned it to him. When one has this state, one doesn't criticize or hate anyone because he was a cause of one being deprived from something, because Allah, He is the first one who prevented. Because He has wisdom in His deprivation or His withholding, just as He has in His giving ni'mah. Habib Umar said, if an ant takes an ant, when it brings a seed into its ant hole, it will bite off the part that would grow, so that it'll make the seed so that it won't grow in its hole. And it said, "There's wonders in the world of the ants," and Allah named the whole surah, a whole chapter of the Quran after ants. In some of their ant holes, they have graveyards. And they also have guards at the doors to the ant holes. and they stop an ant that's not from that anthill. However, they know all of the ants that live there. They have wonders and amazing things. One of them said once, an ant tried to grab a grain, and then it couldn't carry it, so it got a whole group of ants, and then they went around it and left, and then it came back again and tried to pick it up. And Allah revealed to the bee how to make its house, and then Allah mentioned the various colors of honey that comes from the bellies of the bees. Some of those of this group, they said all of the slaves, they eat their sustenance from their master. Then they go forth in their, but however they differ in their views, in their points of views. So some of them eat his provision in humiliation. And some of them eat provision through humiliation or through tests, through trials. And some of them eat their provision by waiting, through waiting. And some of them eat their provision through honor, without any trial, nor waiting, nor humiliation. And he said, as for those who eat in humiliation, those who beg, and they see it as coming from the hands of creatures, so they humble themselves to them. And as those who eat through a trial, not through a trial. Some of them eat through an occupation. And he said, those who eat through not a trial but through an occupation, he eats those who produce things. So they receive their provision through their trade and through their difficult work. And some eat their provision by waiting. Those are the merchants. One of them waits for his wares to sell. And he's punished by waiting. And some of them eat in honor and without any trade or any waiting or any humbleness. And those are the pure ones, the Sufiya. They are in view of Al-Aziz, and they take their portion from his hand through Izzah. And as for those who eat from the emperors, they have sold their spirits, and that is a lost portion, and they fall into clear humiliation. I'm a Amr bin Abdullah, he said, I saw three verses in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. I took them as an aid in my affair. So I sought the aid of the saying of Allah, if Allah causes harm to befall you, no one can alleviate it except Him. And if He wills good for you, no one can repel His judgment. So I said, so if He wants to harm me, no one can benefit me. And if He gives to me, no one can prevent me or withhold from me. And Allah is saying, so remember me and I will remember you. So I busied myself with remembering Him from remembering other than Him. And He said to Allah, and there's no creature on the earth except that its provision, its sustenance is upon Allah. And I swear by Allah, I was not concerned about my sustenance since I recited this, and I was given ease. Habib Umar said, Allah knows best. Imam Haddad said, if the heavens said that they will not rain one drop, and the earth will not grow any seed, and the people of Tarim are all my dependents, that would not have caused me any grief, because of Allah's saying, and there's no creature on earth except that its sustenance is upon Allah. So another reader is reading from another text that we might comment on a little bit. It's really fast though, and it's a really hard test to comment on, so we're probably not going to comment very much.
Yeah.
Omar mentioned, there was a group of Maliki scholars, and the position of the Maliki school is that someone who ruins their fast by sexual contact in Ramadan, that they have the choice between freeing a slave or fasting 2 months or feeding 60 people who are needy. Then this wealthy person came and he said, if someone did that, then what's his expiation? So this Maliki scholar answered that it is fasting 2 months. So then the man left, and there's a group of scholars, so they said, why did you give him that answer? And the Maliki scholar said he has a choice, and he said, this man's wealthy and he has a whole lot of slaves. So if we told him that there's a choice, he could just easily free someone, or he could easily feed someone, and he would see Allah's command as insignificant. So then they said that was right, you should have given him that fatwa. And they were all scholars as well, and they were in the presence of a ruler, but they didn't desire station and so forth, so they weren't contentious with this man and his ruling. However, after the questioner left, they reviewed it with him to make sure that it was correct, and that was how they were. May Allah give us an understanding of the deen. May Allah teach us explanation and guide us to the straight path. So there's half of the last line. The half of the last line of the bait, which is so eloquent about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that you have an eye and you have a human. So the person who is the very essence of unveiling is Muhammad. Or you could say he's the spring of Keshif. And let's see what the commentator has to say, and how Sidi Ustad Amin translated this. He said, Muhammad, the one sent with guidance, truth, clarification, and high station, the pupil of the eye of unveiling and divine care, and the spirit of every created thing. Coming and said, the most knowledgeable of people is the beloved of Allah, the real. Particularly, his knowledge of the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes, and his wisdom in creation. So, Allah's the vast knowledge of the Messenger of Allah compared to Allah's knowledge is like nothing. How he's the most of the knowledgeable of creatures.
ما
That which all creatures have compared to the prophets is like a particle. And the knowledge of all the prophets compared to the knowledge of our Prophet Muhammad is like a particle. And the knowledge of the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in comparison to Allah's knowledge is like nothing. Sayyidina Al-Khidr said to Sayyidina Musa, when they stood at the ocean, and then a bird took from its with its beak from this ocean, he said, "O Moses, your knowledge and my knowledge did not decrease from Allah's knowledge, except like what this bird took from the ocean. It didn't decrease anything." The Prophet ﷺ said in Bukhari, "There's nothing that except that I was shown it in the standing of mine, even paradise and hellfire." So he's the most knowledge of creatures of Allah and his names and attributes. And no one's knowledge can be compared to that of the Prophet ﷺ, not the angels or others. And along with that, he said to Allah, "Transcendent are you, I cannot count your praise like you have praised yourself." So how great is our triumph with this Prophet and with this God who is generous and knowing.
وهذا